coming up on All Access.
Malcolm, Dion, Nate, Danny, I mean, all of them. Those guys worked hard. They competed well. They performed well. They signed contracts that were better than what we were able to give them. So they all did a great job for us.
A couple of my buddies, they were gonna try and train for the combine or, you know, for a pro day. And I said, I'll just go and try and do it as well.
Pretty much hanging out, man, cooking. Dad time kicked in, you know, football's over, so it's not time to be a, you know, full-time parent, you know. So other than that, man, just been hanging out, cooking food.
Gronk is an interesting situation. That, you know, took us all for a loop right after the Super Bowl. Now, if you're asking me how I feel about the whole thing, reading between the lines, I think it's a contract ploy.
While snow is still on the ground, spring is in the air, and the Patriots offseason is in full bloom. Hello and welcome to Patriots All Access presented by GEICO. I'm Steve Burton. It's been almost 8 weeks since New England lost Super Bowl 52 against the Philadelphia Eagles. In that time, whispers of discontent, along with the predictable comings and goings of the new league year, have dominated the headlines. Bob Soucy details a very active beginning to the team-building phase.
40-plus seasons in the NFL have taught Bill Belichick something he continually shares with others. Change is constant. It's a reality the Patriots face again this spring, following a handful of high-profile, high-priced free agent departures.
Malcolm, Dion, Nate, Danny, I mean, all of them. Those guys worked hard. They competed well. They performed well. They signed contracts that were better than what we were able to give them, so they all did a great job for us.
Typical of team building under Belichick, the Patriots didn't jump in with a spending splurge. Instead, they mostly waited out the initial wave of free agency while addressing areas of obvious need, especially on defense, where they ranked 29th overall in 2017 before allowing 41 points and more than 500 yards in Super Bowl 52. Trading for ex-Brown Danny Shelton and signing former Falcon Adrian Claiborne should strengthen the defensive line, while acquiring cornerback Jason McCourty from Cleveland gives them a veteran candidate to offset the loss of Malcolm Butler in the secondary. Additions on offense include ex-Bengal Jeremy Hill, who reunites with re-signed Rex Burkhead in New England's backfield, and versatile Cordero Patterson, a speedster with 18 career scores as a receiver, runner, and primarily kick returner.
I just love touching the ball and getting the ball in my hands, you know. I feel like every time I touch it, I'm going to score or I'm going to make a big play.
This time of year is marked by uncertainties. Will, for example, linebacker Dante Hightower return to his former Pro Bowl self after recovering from injury? Can last year's top draft picks Derek Rivers and Tony Garcia make up for lost time as healthy contributors to the defensive and offensive fronts? What, if any, punishment awaits safety Daron Harmon after being caught with a foreign substance while traveling internationally? And what does the future, near term and far, hold in store for the team's top two stars, Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski?
Well, Bob Soucy doing a great job of recapping the state of the team. He joins me now alongside Paul Perillo. And Paul, I'm going to start with you. Friction in Patriot Nation with this
it's
football
the
team.
What are we doing?
Has everybody bought in? Is there friction? Do you get a sense there is? What's going on here?
I do think, you know, and we talked about this a lot toward the end of last year after that big story came out, and I do think there were some issues that were going on behind the scenes, and I do think they're continuing to work on them. I don't think everybody is quite yet ready to say we're all on the same page, we all know exactly how we want to move forward, but I do think whatever the issues were, they've sort of proved that they can work through them. They can still have success. They still won a lot of football games. And let's face it, they came, a drive away from being in position to win yet another Super Bowl. So I do think there are some issues behind the scenes, Steve, but I don't think those are necessarily going to stop them from achieving what they want to achieve.
I can't believe I'm even asking this question, but I'm going to start with Brady because has Brady bought in?
I don't think it's breaking new ground to say the end is closer for both Brady and Belichick, and you wonder if maybe that is causing some of the so-called rift, you know, in the background, and maybe some other players are looking at that and saying, well, yeah, now it's time that I can get, I mean, I was able to be the team player, I bought in, I did everything I needed to do, but how much longer is he going to be here, I need to get mine now. If you're Rob Gronkowski, you know, do I need to get more money now? Because when is Belichick going to leave?
And I just wonder how much of the physical problems he experienced during the season and late in the year, the Achilles injury, the thumb injury in the playoffs, because he talked about at the time he never thought his career would end on a handoff. And I just wonder if maybe in reflection on what the experience was like physically, if that has given him some reconsideration, reason to rethink things long term.
What about Gronk?
Gronk is an interesting situation. That, you know, took us all for a loop right after the Super Bowl when,
but again,
when he
was right
asked
after.
About it. Yeah, but it was very calculated, Steve. Now, if you're asking me how I feel about the whole thing, reading between the lines, I think it's a contract ploy. I thought that at the time, and I still think that.
Rob Gronkowski's underpaid by what we're seeing from other NFL teams with tight ends who aren't even in the same sphere mm-hmm. as Rob Gronkowski, and even wide receivers. I think you throw them all in the same category. Rob Gronkowski wants to get paid. Drew Rosenhaus is an agent who certainly has a history, I think.
Not afraid to go down this route.
Yeah, absolutely. That leads to some skepticism about the motivation. So I think in the case of Tom and Rob, you separate the two.
All right, guys. We got to separate you two. You're coming back later in the show.
All right, I'll be ready.
You're done.
Thanks, Steve.
We'll be back with more Patriots All Access right after this. Stay with us.
Coming up on All Access.
Where in the world is Bill Belichick? But first, relive what goes into a pro day with undrafted free agent, now NFL wide receiver, Chris Hogan.
You know, my goals were to, you know, just try to get a shot.
Patriots All Access is brought to you by Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots. By Putnam Investments, proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork. And by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots.
Between the front seven and also the cornerback spot, those might be two key areas to focus in on.
Probably some front seven reinforcements, more so than a backup quarterback.
Welcome back to All Access, presented by GEICO. Most Patriots fans are aware that wide receiver Chris Hogan's path to the NFL was unconventional. With the draft approaching next month, Patriots.com's Megan O'Brien visits with Hogan to talk about his unusual process of becoming a professional football player.
I loved going to watch the Penn State games. I mean, I got that feeling every single time I went to a game. You know, it wasn't as a fan, it was as a player. You know, just wanted to be out on that field. I think that drove me when I decided to go play football after lacrosse and after Penn State. I think that drove me, you know, because I knew that I could go out there. I knew that I could compete with these guys. Those years that I played lacrosse, I mean, I always thought in the back of my mind maybe I could walk on, you know, at Penn State and play football there. That never happened. I had that extra year of eligibility. So, you know, someone put the idea in my head to maybe try to go play football, and I just ran with it. It was not like the NFL was really in my, you know, I was really looking at that. Like, that wasn't in my plan. A couple of my buddies, they were going to try and train for the combine or, you know, for a pro day. And I said, I'll just go and try and do it as well. Not playing football, only playing, you know, for a year, you know, not having really any sort of stats to my name. You know, my goals were to, you know, just try to get a shot. I was fortunate enough to get, you know, accepted to go to Fordham's pro day. And, you know, that was really the beginning. I was pretty focused. You know, I didn't really think much about the scouts because they weren't really thinking much about me, so I didn't really have to think about that. I just kind of went out there and just tried to, you know, put together the best pro day that I could. My agent at the time was awesome. He was from my hometown. And, you know, the numbers that I put up, I mean, he was able to go to these guys and be like, listen, you know, this guy can, he can run. I mean, he's a good athlete. He's very raw. So, you know, give him a chance. And I was able to just get a chance. And that phone call, you know, when the lockout ended to go out to San Francisco was, you know, just, I mean, it was a pretty surreal moment for me.
Back shoulder for Hogan. Made the catch. inside the pylon. Fires to the end zone. Wide open Hogan. Touchdown, Patriots. He throws to the middle. Touchdown, New England. Finding Chris Hogan in the back of the end zone.
Not in my wildest imagination would I have ever envisioned myself in the situation I'm in today.
Patriots All Access. I'm Meredith Gorman, joined by Patrick Chung. Pat, it's been a couple months since the Super Bowl. How has it been kind of getting past that, digesting the loss?
Pretty easy, I guess. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, the game's over. I mean, you can't bring it back. You can't bring it back. So it's over, and you just got to move on and call it a day.
And a couple months without football, what have you been doing this offseason?
Pretty much hanging out, man, cooking. Dad time kicked in, you know. Football's over, so it's now time to be a, you know, full-time parent, you know, there. So other than that, man, I've just been hanging out, cooking food, and chilling, waiting for golf season to come. Even though I suck, you know, I'm just still waiting for that to come along.
Anything in particular you like to cook?
I like Jamaican food. I mean, I've always been a fan of it, man, so I'm just going to continue cooking that. But I like everything, though. I made some fried rice the other day. It's pretty bomb.
Sounds pretty good. Now, Coach Belichick, towards the end of last season, had some really nice things to say about you, praised your versatility, called you one of the best players in the league. How does it feel hearing those things from Coach Belichick?
Feels great. It's rare. It's rare, but it feels great, man. You know, I'm working hard, man. I'm going to continue to work, you know. This game's blessed me with a lot of things. Coach Belichick, Mr. Kraft, has blessed me with a lot of things. So, you know, I'm just kind of try to continue doing that and, you know, hopefully get some more praise.
And going off of that, it's been reported you received a contract extension this past offseason. Is it nice to feel wanted?
Well, yeah. I'll take that. You know, it just feels good, man. It feels good to be wanted. It feels good to be respected. And, I mean, it just comes down to hard work, man. You know, Coach told me to work hard. I worked hard and, you know, he took care of me.
Absolutely. Now, there's been a couple changes to the defense. Your defensive coordinator is gone. Coach Belichick mentioned that some of the guys on the defense may have to step up more, increase their responsibility this season with Matt Patricia out. Do you feel that way?
I mean, we won't know until that time comes, but, I mean, losing Matty P is big. You know, he's a great coach, you know, and he got us going. But we have a lot of good coaches on our staff, and, you know, we'll see how it goes, man. We have a long time. I mean, we start the 16th, mm-hmm. You know, so we have months and months to go until we see what anyone's role is at that time.
Yeah, just a couple weeks till the off-season program starts. What do you have to do until then to get ready?
Just make sure you're kind of ready. You know, can't go in there, you know, cold turkey. You know, go in there and just, you know, have some kind of shape, you know, and make sure you've been doing little things because, you know, once we get going, you know, it's go time. You know, so make sure you're ready to go.
All right, well, thank you, Patrick. We'll be right back with Patriots All Access right after this break.
March 7th, University of Alabama. March 19th, NC State.
We're picking 31st, no chance.
March 20th, South Carolina. March 21st, University of Georgia. March 22nd, Ohio State.
Welcome back to Patriots All Access. Back with our panel discussion, Paul Perillo, joined by his colleague Andy Hart. And draft less than a month away. How important is this draft, guys?
Yeah, I think it is a pretty important one. I think especially on defense. I think they have a lack of depth that really showed, I think, at times last year on that side of the ball. They do have more picks this year. They only had four last year, seven, as of now. So I think defensively, I think there's some holes to fill, and obviously left tackle, Andy.
Yeah, I think you need to add some developmental youth. I think they've had some swings and misses in recent years. They've had some injuries that have hurt them. Mm-hmm. They traded away some picks, and that's sort of cut into that pipeline that when you like to turn it over and when you let a guy leave to a big contract in terms of Malcolm Butler or Nate Solder, you like to have a guy ready to plug in. That hasn't exactly worked out. So I think this is a big draft to restock the pipeline.
Biggest hole. What is the biggest need for this Patriots team?
I mean, it's hard to not say left tackle, but it's probably not a hole that you're going to fill in the draft with a guy immediately. So I'd like to see them get a little bit more, as Andy said, young and athletic on the edges on defense. I mean, I know this sounds very funny.
When he asked for the biggest need.
They're about 2.5 minutes away from winning another Super Bowl,
kicker,
and I feel like there's
punter.
A lot of holes. I feel there's a lot of holes.
I'm going to keep it simple. Pass rusher. I think they need a pass rusher, even though they
even
added
more so than a left tackle?
Yeah, because I don't think the left tackle's there. That's where I'm with Paul. And you can't just take the third best left tackle at 31 and say, he's going to start for me if he's not good enough to play. I think this draft is still limited with pass rushers, but I think you could find a pass rusher that could have a positive impact. Even with the Adrian Claiborne sighting, I don't think he is a elite pass rusher. Derek Rivers coming off an ACL and a big jump in level of competition. I'd love to see a pass rusher that can come in and help.
Quarterback. Will they take a quarterback?
Yeah, I think
this is a strong quarterback.
I think they probably
draft.
Will, and that's why. See, this is sort of the opposite of what we're talking about. I think you can get a good quarterback at the second round and maybe do the same thing you did with Garoppolo. I don't know exactly which one it is, but I think there's something for everyone with the quarterbacks in this class. There's sort of traditional guys, right. There's athletic guys,
right.
There's guys that Bill Polian wants to turn into wide receivers. I think there's a lot of different ways that you can go with these guys. I would be surprised if they didn't take one.
Yeah, I think Mr. Kraft even alluded to it. You might need to find a quarterback in this draft. I think it's good enough where second, third round, you can find that developmental guy. You're not rushing because, fingers crossed, Brady's here for at least two more years. But they need to, again, I get back to that phrase, restock the pipeline. You lose Garoppolo, get that guy in place so that in a couple of years he's ready to play.
All right, I'm going to throw out a name, Johnny Football. Johnny Manziel.
It'd be a lot of fun, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Do you see it happening?
I mean, I don't, and it's probably more for reasons off the field than on it. I think there are some things that are still attached. I think that Manziel's doing a nice job rehabbing his image.
Yep.
And I do think he deserves a second chance. I'm just not sure the Patriots would be the team to do it.
I think it's simple value. The same reason that Nate Solder is in New York and Malcolm Butler and those guys move on, Deion Lewis, it's not because they don't like him as players. It wasn't the right value.
Right.
Well, Johnny Manziel, they're not taking in the first round. They're not the Cleveland Browns.
Mm-hmm.
But now off the scrap heap with a guy that's trying to convince everyone he's turned his career around, and you have an offensive coordinator in Josh McDaniels who once drafted Tim Tebow in the first round, once brought Tim Tebow here, has shown creativity in his schemes, even with Garoppolo ran some zone read type stuff. I could see him saying, if Johnny Manziel's committed to football, I can work with that and make that work. So I think it's just smart value-based research.
Will Manziel be in a Patriot uniform come training camp?
No.
Then I'll say yes, so one of us is right.
Thanks, guys.
That's conviction right there.
There you go. Well, that will do it for this edition of Patriots All Access. For Paul Perillo and Andy Hart, I'm Steve Burton. We'll see you next month for the draft.